Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Adrian Beltre, and we talk about this a lot at night. Adrian Beltre, I think we kind of try to avoid it and just imagine that he still has what it is. But he injured his hamstring again. And if you go back and look at his numbers this year, and I know he's been injured, and you can be like, oh, but he's been injured. His slugging, he's turned into a kind of glorified singles hitter. And while he may be able to hit four singles in a game, and that's awesome, and I appreciate it, the power is not quite there anymore.
If you don't believe that, he's on pace right now to have the third lowest slugging percentage of his career outside of 09, when he dealt with some problems that year, too, in his rookie year. And his WAR is projected to be the lowest it has since 2002. And, you know, you brought this up off air, and we had this discussion, and at first I was like, preposterous. But I started to think more and more about it. And then I read something in the Dallas Morning News yesterday where Adrian Beltre was talking about how hard it is to come back from these injuries, especially since the last time he felt great when he got hurt. And he said, quite frankly, sometimes I do have to think if it's about time for me to say goodbye or get closer to saying goodbye to you guys and all the fans.
I also wonder, Kevin, if it's because he hasn't played as much this year. When he played 94 games last year, he's, I believe, at like 86 this year.
Did you know that he's, outside of his rookie year, he'd never played less than 100 games? And now there's a decent shot you get it in back-to-back years.
Yeah, and I wonder if that makes it a little easier for Rangers fans to kind of say, okay, you know, I'm a little more okay with him not being around. Plus, I think the play of Jurickson Profar might be doing some stuff to kind of help quell that a little bit. Like, you're looking at him and you're like, hey, Jurickson Profar turned a triple play the other night. Hey.
That was amazing, by the way.
Jurickson Profar turned a pretty big double play last night as well. The guy's making some good defensive plays, and I think there are a lot of fans out there that are like, man, we wanted to see the payoff with him forever. We've heard about Jurickson Profar. A lot of people gave up on him being the shortstop of the future, and I'm glad about that because I love Elvis, and I felt like people were trying to push out Elvis too early. But here you are with a guy, you still got Elvis in contract. And Mike Bassick yesterday was saying he believes without a doubt that Elvis Andrus is re-signing.
With or the opting
Rangers.
In.
Opting
yeah.
in every year with the Rangers. He's going to stick around and he's not going anywhere. He's not going to go play for the Yankees.
Okay, and that would mean he's here for four more years.
And forever, Kevin. That means forever.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, for the rest of his life.
Fair enough.
And so like I feel like if you're looking at an infield that has Profar, Odor, Guzman, Elvis Andrus, I'm pretty happy with it. Now, would I like Chris Bryant at third base?
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, of course I would.
Hold on, is that how this is going? I'll also take Francisco Lindor if we're just taking
Yeah,
people.
Exactly. Profar has 14 home runs. He's probably going to end the season with 20 home runs.
Okay,
I'm not hating that. I'm not hating what he's doing. Playing 109 games, getting very consistent time in the field.
I just want to throw something out real quick for comparison since you talked about Beltre. Beltre has 7 home runs, and he hasn't played that many fewer games than Profar. So if you're just kind of working it out like that, Beltre would be on pace to finish the season with about 10 home runs, Profar 20.
Yeah, and see, so those numbers.
That's wild, right?
And baseball is numbers, right? Like,
yeah.
It's all numbers when it comes to that. The slugging percentage, you were talking about that earlier. It's 458.
Yep.
458. There's a big difference and a big drop-off there. Now, that is a sign for Adrian Beltre if the power drops, right? That's a sign
that
you might have him for a couple games here. But are you going to have him for enough games? No, you're not. So if he does make that decision, you have to start preparing for that now. And I don't know if the Rangers have third base lined up in their farm system right now to replace what Beltre brought you. Profar is going to be the guy that they're going to have to turn to.
And
otherwise, they're going to have to go find that guy in free agency somewhere.
Can I just correct one thing that I disagree with you right there? Is you said have to turn to. I don't believe that anymore. Now I think it's just the guy they can turn to. And the distinction I make right there is there were several years where I thought, oh, we're going to have to do Profar. And now I think you can roll into 2019 and you can say, who's your starting third baseman? It's Jurickson Profar.
Yeah. And health,
and I don't have to worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, health-wise, I mean, and I know this is dumb, but when he got stomped on the face that day
yeah.
and he came back
stuck
out on the
there.
Field, for me, that was a moment where if Bannister's going to be your head coach next year, your manager next year, which I actually am more hopeful for it than I was before earlier in the season. Because I felt like when I was watching early in the season, Kevin, I really felt like this team had just given up. But what I'm seeing right now is a team that's playing pretty well and clicking. And I'm like, maybe it's because they're relaxed. Maybe it's because he hasn't completely lost this young group. And so I'm looking at that saying, okay, I like that. But Bannister has this, when you look at him and you talk to him, he has this toughness about himself, right? This sternness, this stoic grouping of Bannister that you see. And I think he likes tough players.
Yeah,
and I think
for sure.
Whenever he saw Profar do that, it stuck out for him as, oh my gosh, that's a guy right there that I can get behind. Look at Beltre. Beltre is the
Mark
toughest
that.
SOB that you've ever seen, right? Dude went out there with a hernia. He went out there with an exploded bag. He had all these problems, and he's going back out there and fighting every day. And that's the thing, like, there are players that whenever they go out there and they do something tough, you're like, man, I remember that moment. That's what that guy is. That's what he's comprised of. That's what he's made of. And I think Profar doing that day, that showed something to his teammates.
Did it show something to the fan base?
I think
that
so.
I hope so.
Now, I don't know how many people saw it, but I saw it on Twitter.
Heard the legend,
man,
now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That wasn't some easy, just like a little cut across the face. He got kicked in the face by a metal cleat.
Now,
and got back up and went out on the field and finished the game.
You brought something up earlier about the infield, and I think we should expand it out some with the concept of Profar. Is you could look at this team next year, and you could see a lineup in the field and in the batting order that, except for one player, is entirely 25 and younger right now. Because if you think about it, all right, so behind the dish, you can go IKF. And these are all legitimate options now. At first, you can go Guzman. At second, you can go Odor. At short, Andrus. At third, Profar. In right, you can go Mazzara. In center, you can go DeShields. And in left, you can go Gallo. And at DH, you can go Calhoun. With the exception of, obviously, Elvis, who I believe is 29. Every single one of those players right now is 25 or younger. And if you're gearing up towards 2020, which I know that's not going to be the marketing campaign. They're not going to go, the Rangers, we might be good after this next year. Like, I know that's not how they're going to spin it. But if I was spinning it to the fan base, I would be like, this is the 90, you know, the 91 Rangers. This is the 94 Rangers. Like, this is where you see all of the kids who are eventually going to get you to where you want to go. This is when you get to see them. This is the 08 Rangers or whatever, and we'll make some tweaks along the way.
Well, and I think the tweaks along the way are the next sell, right?
Absolutely.
Because the tweaks are along the way are what made that those Rangers never were able to overcome and become that next level thing.
Yeah.
But the 11 Rangers, the 10 Rangers, we weren't supposed to be in the World Series that year.
Right.
You know, that Rangers fan base was like, hold on.
What's happening?
What just happened?
Yeah.
And they had a very young roster, and they made some additions because they were like, we can actually do this. We added Cliff Lee. And Cliff Lee, like, became a point of, look, we got a guy that can go out there and do it in the playoffs. And if we can compete in the playoffs, we might actually have a chance with this. So I think, yeah, your sell is – right now, this thing is kind of this, but look at how quickly we went into a World Series contender just like that.
And it's a sell to the players, too, right? Like, we talk about this with basketball more than anything. And no, I'm under no illusions that Bryce Harper or Clayton Kershaw would come here either monetarily or competitively. But let's say you roll into 2020, and all of a sudden you look at that infield or you look at that outfield, and you're like, holy crap. They have, like, five or six potential all-stars. Now, this is like shooting for the highest possible outcome. Then you're intrigued and you're like, maybe this is the place to go.
But you have to make tough decisions along the way.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, Beltre is the next tough decision, right?
Well, that was, you know, I heard Mike talk about this a little yesterday. He was like, you know, you might not hear Chuck Morgan. You got about 20 more games left of him hearing Chuck Morgan say Adrian Beltre at third base. Maybe. If you're lucky, you have 20 more games of that. Do you have to talk to him about retiring? Do you have to consider telling him, let's say he comes back and he's like, you know what, I do want to give it one more try. Not because I want Hall of Fame stats, not because I need any of that stuff, but because I love baseball and I love being here.
And so are you asking, do the Rangers owe it to him?
Are you gonna really make him compete against whoever it is at third base? Or is he gonna go out there and get it because he's Adrian Beltre? Because that's what's kind of going on if he goes back out on the field right now.
Here's what I would say, and I can say this knowing that I've already had my confrontation with Adrian Beltre. This is a direct quote from Adrian Beltre to me 2 years ago. Yo, have you got hit in the nuts yet?
Right.
That is an actual, I swear to God, an actual quote.
I saw it.
I would tell him this. If you want to come back, and I know this might anger some people, you will not be our full-time third baseman.
We can't be full-time DH either.
Exactly.
Because we have more power at DH than you're giving right now.
I will say that I think you can play 3 to 4 times a week with a mix of third base and DH. That's what I have to offer. We would love you to come back because I think that is an attractive option, having him apparently available 3 to 4 days a week if you need him. And if that's the case, then you know what he'll probably say? The Cubs, the Red Sox, the Braves, whoever are offering me the same deal, I'm going to take it there. I bet he thinks if he comes back to the Rangers, it would be to start full-time at third base, and if it's for a playoff team, it's probably not to do that. So if he's being offered the same role by us and somebody else, then he probably goes to somebody else. And I'm sad, but I get cheered up knowing that when he goes into the Hall of Fame, it will be with a Rangers cap on.
Well, and that's the other thing. So, you know, I don't know if there wasn't a trade option in place with the Braves that he was okay with, or if he was just like, nah, it's not a playoff team. The thing I like to believe is that Adrian Beltre was looking at it saying, I really like Texas. And while they're not on a playoff run, I'm not giving up on this group, and I like the players and the relationships that I've built here. Now, what's the immediate thing whenever a guy is kind of close to retirement or close to it? Everybody's like, oh, he could be a great manager. And maybe that is something that he would have interest in. Could he come in and be part of a clubhouse of guys that he played with? Could he be involved in that clubhouse with? Because I know there's no doubt in my mind, Bannister would be like, I love having him around.
You know what I would much rather have him in a role of, and I don't think it would take up as much of his time. I would love to have him be one of our international representatives because, like, how trailblazing is he for one of the international players? And, like, so instead of having to be here the entire season, I would love to have him bounce around, whether it's going to the Dominican, whether it's going to Venezuela, whether it's bouncing around, because, you know, he's got a great relationship with all the players from a variety of our countries, and going down there and helping cultivate relationships by saying, you need to come to the Rangers because, you know, they did this with Profar. They did this with this player. They did this with this player. I think that would be great.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're at a point where we're really considering life without Beltre on this team. It's crazy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.